Bro, you just dissed me for the final time. Bro, you just showed me disrespect. The only course of action left is to take this to the ring. This coming Monday night, we're gonna duke it out for keeper. And I will climb to the top rope and jump and kick you in the face. And I've been training all my wrestling skills.
Welcome to Marking Out in the Morning, coming to you live from Audacity Solutions Studios in Des Moines, Iowa. It is 9:06 a.m. Central Standard Time. If it is also that time for you, then you know you can listen to us live every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio and Periscope, and catch it not live a few other places. I'm your host, The Audacity. This is the first and only live daily morning call-in pro wrestling news and rumors podcast. So if anyone else tries to claim they are one, I'm unaware of it. We're the first and only. Again, if you're listening live, thanks for joining us on Periscope. Thanks for listening on Blog Talk Radio. If you are listening to this later and don't know how to find out about any of that stuff, hop on Twitter, follow us at heelzigler_com. Every morning you'll get the links for the live podcast, the live Periscope, and everything. And if you want to contact us while you're listening live, if you want to chime in about whatever we're talking about, send a tweet at heelzigler_com, or you can call us 657-383-1786, or again, hop on Periscope. Shout out there. I try to watch my Periscope, but I'm not always great about it. And if you don't listen live and you want to listen later, Blog Talk Radio, subscribe to us there, subscribe on Stitcher, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, or just whatever. You can watch these Periscope videos for like 24 hours, I think, after they're recorded. So you have a million chances to check it out. Just bumped up the background music a little too much for the podcast listeners. I'm going to go over some ROH results. We're going to take a look at the Raw preview. There's not a whole lot in terms of news and rumors. We got an update for 2K16. What else are we even going to briefly talk about? Brandon is going to join us. He had a few matches this weekend with 3XW here in Des Moines. And if you saw on the internet for a minute, it blew up that Bernie Sanders was watching some Lucha Libre Pro Wrestling. That was the same event Brandon was performing at. The picture that went viral for a minute of him putting a kid in a headlock, that's our friend Austin. Not really my friend, but I've met him. It's Brandon's friend. So that was really cool that two of my favorite things, Bernie Sanders and pro wrestling, coming together for a minute. Thought that was neat. So we'll talk about that for a minute and talk to Brandon about wrestling in front of people at the Latino Heritage Festival in Des Moines. And the rest of it's just stuff to chit-chat about because there's nothing major that happened since the last time I produced a podcast for you guys. So with that in mind, Brandon, like I said, will be calling in here in a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and on the 26th, that would be Friday night, Saturday night, ROH put on a show that sounds to me like a TV taping. I don't know a whole lot about ROH, so maybe this is just how they do their house shows. But one of the matches is listed as a pre-match, which I think would mean like a dark match, which I think they would mean the rest are actually being recorded for TV. And the way the promos look sounds like it. So anyway, I don't know when that's going to air, where it's going to air. I don't know anything. I don't follow ROH enough to know exactly what's going on. But real quick, let me play the spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, 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 spoiler alert.
as I said, the show was on the 26th in front of a crowd of about 800 and what looked like a TV taping or something for ROH. The pre-show match, which I assume is a dark match, was just a couple of locals defeating another couple of locals in a tag team action. Then I guess the real show started with Veda Sky defeating Sumi Sakai, Kenny King and Rhett Titus defeating the House of Truth, Caprice Coleman defeated Pepper Parker via ref stoppage. I think there's a chain involved there and a refusal to give up. Roderick Strong defeated Watanabe. Matt Jackson defeated Matt Tavern after an Adam Cole promo. Cheeseburger and Will Ferreira defeated Bob Evans and Gian Hughes. Daniels and Kazarian cut a promo about never losing the tag titles. Hansen defeated Daniels by disqualification after Kazarian interfered. Jay Lethal defeated Stevie Richards and ACH defeated Moose, Adam Cole, and Michael Elgin in a fatal four-way in what was noted as the best match of the night. I think that must be a TV taping or based on what they were saying about some of the promos and everything. If not, then whatever. I guess that just happens Saturday night, and if you now you know. So that is ROH, a company who is kind of up in the air as far as what's going to happen next. They have a couple of small TV deals, but without real serious TV deals, it's hard to remain relevant as a television product. Their contract runs out with Destination America, which wasn't even that great of a deal. I mean, I guess for anyone outside of WWE, it might not be a bad deal. They need to find something. They've got a few markets in America and France, as far as I know. Not going to cut it. So hopefully they find, I really just hope they hook up with Hulu or Netflix or something like that and get a streaming service that a lot of people already have that maybe people will accidentally get interested in ROH. There's a lot of wrestling fans on Hulu. That's where I watch. Sometimes I watch SmackDown there or I watch Main Event. I watch Superstars. You can watch NXT. It's pretty good. If you like wrestling, you might as well have Hulu Plus. You know, they have a few movies on there. No Holds Barred is on there. And WrestleManiacs, which I don't know what that is, but I'm going to watch it eventually. I wouldn't be surprised if Nacho Libre is available too. So anyway, that's my unpaid plus for the day. We'll get to the news and rumors then. There's not a whole lot to talk about, honestly. I already talked a little bit about Bernie Sanders. We'll talk to Brandon about it again, too, when he gets on the phone with us. But basically, Bernie Sanders is doing what all politicians are doing and going around to local events to get his name out there as a presidential candidate. Latino Heritage Festival was going on in Des Moines this weekend, and Bernie Sanders stopped by. And in the middle of that festival was a wrestling event being put on by 3X Wrestling, the premier local wrestling promotion of Des Moines, Iowa. And they 3XW brought in some non-local talent to fill in the Lucha Libre gaps they have in their own roster. So Bernie Sanders stopped over to watch that for a minute. There's really only about like 10 seconds worth of footage, and if you find the YouTube video, it's the same footage looped about 3 or 4 times. So there's not a whole lot of video footage about it, but you can see him there, and there was a really good picture of him putting Austin, I don't know his wrestling name, unfortunately, Brandon will know that, putting him in a headlock, and the photo kind of went crazy, especially on places like Reddit. So anyway, I'm going to pause for 1 second podcast. I apologize.
All right, we're going to get back on. Here, just 1 second. We'll take one last bite of my breakfast. And then we'll...
Anyone out there a Bernie Sanders supporter? Because he's got my vote so far. So, after that awkward ending of the Bernie Sanders conversation, we're going to take a look at the latest release from 2K related to WWE 2K16, which comes out October 27th. All 120 all 120 wrestlers have already been revealed, so they're letting out trailers to show new features and new whatever going on in the game. So they just released a trailer that highlighted the My Career mode and how it's been improved since the year before. I'm actually getting ready to publish an article at Inquisitor about it. But basically, the highlights of it are that you have a whole lot more control over what your character does and how his character develops. And it's a much, much, much longer career because the goal is to make it into the Hall of Fame. And some of the checklists of accomplishments that would be on your Hall of Fame resume, one of them has an undefeated record at WrestleMania, but that you must have at least 12 matches for it to count. So that means your career mode is going to be at least 12 years if you're going to check off all of the accomplishments on the Hall of Fame checklist, especially if you're starting down in NXT. That means you got to make it to WrestleMania on the first year. So there's a whole lot of other changes as well, too. There's a whole lot more of you. For example, when you do a run-in in the middle of a match, now you're able to choose, do you want to run in during their entrance or do you want to run in midway through the match? Which wrestler do you want to attack in the match? Or are you going to go out there and help them by distracting the ref? Are you going to go out and attack one of the wrestlers straight up? And you can even choose where you come from. Do you want to come from the stage? Do you want to come from the audience? So you get to really customize your interferences, and those actually do set up feuds. A lot of times in older games, you could interfere in the middle of a match, and then the AI didn't really do anything about it after you did that. So now it sounds like that is going to happen. You'll have a lot more opportunities to choose teammates for the tag team division, where you'll have to take on. You'll be expected to take on all of the top established tag teams in WWE. So putting a little more emphasis on the tag team there. If you choose to go that route, they'll give you a whole lot of opportunities to show how you respond face or heel when you're being interviewed, especially with Renee Young in NXT. So all kinds of fun stuff to make, again, listening to the fans and the gamers who said they wanted more freedom in the season mode. So this one's going to give you, probably as long as you want. If it's minimum 12 years, I would imagine you could play until I imagine there's no chronological end. I think it's maybe once you have enough to enter the Hall of Fame, then technically you've beat the game as that wrestler. So anyway, that's WWE 2K16. And unfortunately, for those of you who do not have a PS4 or an Xbox One, My Career Mode will not be available. That happened to me. I used to have only a PS3. I bought 2K15, and I was really bummed that I didn't have that career mode that everyone's talking about. Then I bought a PS4, not just for that, but that was part of the reason. I played the career mode, and I've maybe played that career mode a total of 3 hours. And I don't have the patience for it. So maybe with the new release, I'll give it another shot. That's most of the news about 2K16. Let's see. After that, the next maybe was a story about how dominant WWE is on YouTube. I know that's kind of a weird thing, but YouTube is a huge source of, even news and just entertainment, whatever, for a lot of people. The fact that WWE had more views in August of 2015 than any other channel, they had 456 million videos views on their channel in August of 2015. So whatever. WWE dominates more social media. They love to tout it, so I'm sure if they haven't already shown it on TV, that'll be one of the did you knows where Raw passed himself on the back at being great social media-ists. or whatever. And you know, whatever, I use a lot of their videos when I publish articles at HeelZiggler.com. And if I miss something, I know I can always find them on YouTube. That's where I get a lot of my sound clips for previews, especially like Total Divas. I steal a lot of previews for that since they have good ones built up on YouTube, and I usually use that on my show. So I am not surprised WWE has all those views. I'm sure all the – I would assume most of the views at their website are also their YouTube videos. I don't know that for sure. I guess I haven't taken the time to figure that out. But, of course, WWE dominates YouTube. And before we move on to the news, because the news is not all that exciting this morning, I do believe Brandon is calling in. How you doing this morning?
Good, man. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I was, before you called in, just talking about how the idea of Bernie Sanders being at a wrestling event and that wrestling event being in Des Moines, Iowa, like those are three things I love that not a lot of maybe other people love. And so just to tell me that that would happen, I would be like, oh, that's like funny that you would say that because, of course, you're just messing with me. But then it happened and it was, you know, for a few minutes, the hottest story on the internet. And your friend Austin had a really good picture that I assume has gone viral with Bernie Sanders putting him in a headlock. And that was an event that you were working. How did the event overall go for 3XW this weekend?
I thought it went pretty good. I mean, I had a good turnout, and it was a lot of fun. It was pretty special because the four of us that had graduated this year from the 3XW Training Academy all got to work both days, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
That's really the first time that's happened, so that was cool. And, yeah, of course, that was pretty amazing. I think it was towards the final match on the first day. He just happened to walk by and he stopped and watched some of the matches. And then, yeah, Austin just went in for a photo op and was like, hey, I'm a professional wrestler. Like, can you put me in a headlock and take a picture? And he was just like all about it. And yeah, that was on the front page of Reddit for a while. So it was pretty
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. He does seem even like, he does seem like the coolest, not like the coolest as far, whatever, but just the most like actually kind of like whatever of the people or whatever, you know, I don't want to sound cliche or whatever, but he does seem more just like the only one who would seem like really comfortable like doing that. You know what I mean? And like, I think the other ones would try to do it, but it would seem like really weird when most of them, you know, would try to do it. It would seem awkward. With like Bernie Sanders, it just seems kind of course he would do that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, really the only thing that I would think, and definitely pun intended, that could trump that would have been a Donald Trump, you know, like giving someone a headlock just because of his past association with WWE and stuff like that. But
yeah,
but yeah
I'm sure
from Bernie Sanders, definitely more unexpected and just like cool. And like that's all the comments I read were just like this. You know, like makes him the coolest presidential candidate, basically.
Yeah, man, I wish that Jon Stewart still had a show like right now, because that would be like, then that picture of Austin would probably be like on the Daily Show. And then like, you know what I mean, once he talks about it, and once that's the one that Jon Stewart uses, then like tons of other stories are going to pick it up and use that picture, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But maybe someone will, maybe it'll be somebody, maybe Jimmy Fallon or Seth Meyers or someone like that will pick up on it. And as long as one of those places has that photo, I feel like then it could go really, you know what I mean, start getting used in news stories. I've been trying to look for a chance to use it on Inquisitor, because I like write for them a little bit. But right now, the stage I'm in, I'm kind of a newbie, so I have to choose from like whatever words are current, and then I can't copy anything that's been written in the last like day or so. And so I've been waiting for Bernie Sanders to come back up, because then even if that's like not why he's, you know, really huge again, I can at least write about it and whatever else is going on, but definitely mention, you know, what happened there and write about it and throw out, you know, some few words about 3XW while I'm there in Des Moines.
Yeah, there's also, I don't know how widespread it got, but I'm not even sure who it was, but some lady on Twitter tweeted a video of, it was Devin Carter. He actually, like, that's who was wrestling when Bernie Sanders was watching, and afterwards he came up and shook his hand or whatever, and there's actually a video of Bernie Sanders saying, like, you know, I think that I have a pretty tough job sometimes, but you definitely have a tougher job. So he admitted that pro wrestling is harder than being a politician.
Nice. Yeah. See, there he's. Now he's gonna be pulling the pro wrestling demographic, which if WWE gets, you know, all like, you know, supporting the vote or whatever they used to do, you know, their version of Rock the Vote, if they do that again,
right,
and Bernie Sanders can get those pictures and those like YouTube clips going, then that could be bad. I mean, bad for Vince, because Vince definitely is not a Bernie Sanders guy at all. So, but yeah, that could work. That could work against them. And especially with Jon Stewart being, yeah, man. Anyway, I'm overthinking this. I'm sure it's not going to be a huge impact at all. But anyway, and you individually, what's that?
I said it was fun regardless, so.
Yeah, and how did your matches go? How did you feel about your performances?
It was okay. It could have been better. I mean, the first day I ended up wrestling Donnie Pepper Cricket, which I was really excited about because I've seen Donnie wrestle like plenty of times, and he is like such a fun character and fun guy to work with. And so I was excited about the opportunity. We had a pretty decent little match. I mean, that's my second singles match ever. So, but I don't know. I mean, like, I think the heat just kind of got to me. I got kind of blown up in the match, and we kind of had to cut some stuff out. And it was my first time working a heel in the singles too. So I need to work on being more vocal and getting the crowd to hate me, I guess. But
yeah,
overall, it was fun.
Yeah.
I took a Samoan drop from him and a Vader bomb, and he weighs 350 pounds, so it was pretty interesting.
Nice, yeah. And then I was the go ahead.
Oh, no, and then day two, again, I was super excited because I was going to get a wrestle with Superfly. And yet again, he's another guy I've seen wrestle dozens of times. And I was a bit more excited because, you know, a lot of my moveset is like power moves and stuff like that. And I wasn't really able to do any of that with Donnie for the most part because of his size. But I knew a Superfly. He's a little guy and light, and I was going to be able to do some cool stuff. We were going to have a pretty cool little match, and then unfortunately, I'm not really sure what happened, but he gave me a jawbreaker, and I guess when he landed on his butt, popped or something, and he had some back problems, and we kind of had to wrap it up. But I talked to him, and he is okay, so That was my main concern. But, yeah, that was definitely a learning experience because, obviously, I'm green as shit, and the ref was also green as shit, too. So it was kind of an awkward moment, but I just improvised the best I could. You know, I just kind of used that time while he was recovering to play up to the crowd and talk some shit, try to get some heat or whatever. And then, yeah, we pretty much just kind of had to go home right after that. But it was a great honor to wrestle those guys. I mean, it's just kind of surreal, you know, watching these guys, like, for the past couple years, like, going to these independent shows, and then, you know, like, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you're working against this guy today. So, you know, it's pretty cool. Definitely learned a lot and excited to get back in there. So,
yeah, very good. Well, yeah, and I never really thought about, because I just think as a fan, I'm like, oh man, being a heel would be awesome. And you just go and, like, you know, just whatever to be cool. But then, like, I was kind of, like, watching you, like, kind of interacting with, like, the fans, whatever, you know? And I think, like, oh, man, like, in, like, real life all the time, like, I never want people to, like, hate me. I, like, do whatever I can to, like, never be the one who did anything wrong, you know? And so then I'm like, man, I bet, like, even, like, trying to make that character, I would just be like, oh, man, I don't want to, like, I don't, like, want to yell at people. I don't want them to, like, actually boo me. I mean, I think eventually I can get to it, but it would be, especially at first, I think it would be weird when you're like, oh, I'd, like, yeah, like, yell at these people, I guess, and be a dick. That's, like, kind of, yeah. I feel like the first time you have to try to do that, that would be really weird.
I mean, to an extent, that, like, that part is weird, but really it's just, you know, like, typically the heat is, like, the longest part of the match, and the heel, like, is in control, you know what I mean? Like, and so when I'm the green guy, it makes it more difficult. I mean, it's easy to take heat. I just, you know, the other guy's the vet. He just calls what's going to happen, you know, and I just get my ass beat, you know.
Yeah.
So it's easy. But, you know, like, when I'm the one, like, you know, in charge of doing all that, it's kind of overwhelming. But I don't know. I feel like I did okay. I mean, no one said I suck, so that's always a plus, I guess.
Very good, yeah. When is the next upcoming 3XW event?
This Friday, actually. October 2nd at the Come and Go Theater. It is our, probably, in my opinion, one of the funnest shows of the year. It's our Halloween show.
Oh, nice.
And every year we do a gimmick costume battle royal. So it's fun to see, you know, like, the characters that people have and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes people do, you know, like, famous wrestlers, and then sometimes people do horror characters and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just a lot of fun, man. It'll be definitely entertaining for sure.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I'll be working that battle royal, so. And, like, that will be my first, 3X Friday night, like, main show appearance at the Come and Go Theater. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Nice. And I was late for your intro. Is your ring name just, is it Flawless Wallace?
I'm still kind of toying with that. I mean, I've been doing Flawless Brandon Wallace. This week when it was my first time working as a heel, my first singles match and then my first tag match in Perry or whatever, I worked as a face. so I just hailed from Des Moines, but this weekend I toyed around with being from the great state of Texas, so... That was kind of interesting. I might still go with that. I mean, I did live in Texas. And, like, that kind of helped with some heat ideas. It is hard to get heat. Because I, you know, like, the heel typically comes out first. So I come out in this glorious robe. And, you know, people kind of popped for me. Like, yeah. And then, you know, try to just cut them down. You know, without trying to be too politically incorrect.
Right.
Used the Texas that, you know, I said, I thought this was the Latino Heritage Festival. Like, at least in Texas, we got real Mexicans, you know, something like that to try to get some heat. And then, yeah, also, like, working as a face before, I was, like, you know, the kids want the high fives and stuff. And, like, almost instinctively, I kind of went for it and then pulled a quick one on them and was like, whew, nah, you can't touch the flawless one. So I was trying to work on some stuff and, you know, it's just going to take time getting comfortable out there and stuff like that. So
for sure. Cool. Let's see. And then, all right, well, let's go. We'll move on to the headlines. And so basically I have some guy coming to look at my internet, and that's like why I might have to like be like, oh, hold on a second when he gets here, just so I can, I don't have to, it only take a second because I just have to show him, I don't know, say, hey, I don't know what I have to do. He knows what's going on. So anyway, so I might get disconnected from internet. I might have to call in myself. Because internet will probably go down for a minute. I'm like super not happy with my internet. Anyway, back to the news. The next thing we were going to talk about was SummerSlam was moved from LA to New York this year, and they have confirmed that in 2016 and 2017 they'll be returning to the Barclays Center for three nights in a row, and they have an NXT event, the SummerSlam event, and the following Raw. All three in the Barclays Center that will happen 2016 and 2017. I mean, I guess it's not any worse than being in LA as far as I'm concerned for us, but I wish they would move SummerSlam around. I don't like them sticking it in one city like that. What do you think?
As a fan, as far as wanting to attend, like, sure, yeah, I get that, but I think it's good. I mean, I was never really a fan of it being in L.A. I don't know. I'm not saying California has bad wrestling fans, but they're definitely not as good as New York wrestling fans, and I thought that whole last weekend was, you know, NXT, SummerSlam, Raw was great. And so I see why they would do that. You know, you're going to have good crowds. And it's kind of cool. Like we talked about earlier going into SummerSlam, this year it kind of really did feel like the number two pay-per-view behind WrestleMania, like with the whole, you know, 3-day weekend type of thing, like how they do with Mania and just putting a lot of effort into it. So, yeah, it's not really surprising. I think it'll be good. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, of course, being from the Midwest, I would prefer if we could get more pay-per-views around here. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but, I mean, a pay-per-view in Des Moines would be pretty awesome. I don't know that that's ever happened. Definitely it's never happened.
Yeah, it's never
the
been
the only pay-per-view that's
WWE
ever been in
like,
Iowa. It was NWO sold out, but that was in Cedar Rapids.
Right, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, that's the only one that I think I don't see. I mean, some of them, like in the Quad Cities, that's like almost Iowa, you know, it's pretty close, but usually it's across the border. But yeah, you know, I guess I don't know if they'd ever even do pay-per-views there, so. But yeah, maybe if they're only sticking to major markets, I mean, I'm sure it's great to do it in New York and LA just because so much media is there, but maybe if they're going to do it more in the Midwest, maybe Chicago could be their next destination. That'd be cool, but I don't know if they'll, you know what I mean? Even Dallas is like an easy drive. You know what I mean? If you really wanted to, especially if you had a few friends with you, but, whatever.
I agree with that. I've driven from San Antonio to Iowa quite a few times. You know, it's never an easy drive, but granted, I did it by myself every time. So,
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And I guess
and
I don't really have a good
5 hours closer, so. Did I lose you there? Hello?
So, after some technical difficulties, we are back. Brandon, are you ready to get back to the news?
Sure.
All right. So, I mean, these just barely count as news, but RVD is going to be doing a shoot interview here pretty soon with youshoot.com, and they are opening it to anyone who wants to send in questions for RVD. Any questions you would have for RVD, Brandon?
Is he done with WWE? I mean, I thought he was going to be kind of doing like an off and on part-time deal, and he's been gone a really long time, so I guess that would be about my only question for him.
Yeah, yeah, that is actually a really good question. He's always he's kind of like Chris Jericho, where he's kind of always just in and out and nothing really. Yeah, they don't really make a big deal when either of those two things happen because we see it so much. So, yeah, if anyone is interested, it's Kayfabe Commentaries, so at Kayfabe Comment on Twitter, and you can submit video questions through kayfabecommentaries.com, or I'm sure you can just tweet at them and whatever. They did some with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, but I haven't checked them out to see if they're any good, so whatever, Kayfabe Commentaries, there you go. That's the kind of news day we have. And the next story, I guess, would you be interested in Kevin Nash or Scott Hall either?
Are you saying those are upcoming or they've happened already?
They've happened. I don't know if they've released the full interviews. I think they may just have released trailers so far. And then the real stuff will come soon. But there's a – I mean, do you feel like there's anything they could say on a shoot interview that they haven't already – admitted or said or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that one's a little difficult because, I mean, I've seen plenty of shoot interviews. I'd be more interested in Scott Hall now that he's sober and doing stuff again. Kevin Nash, not really as much because, I mean, I pretty much have heard everything he's had to say for the most part.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, they haven't shied away from much, so I can't imagine that they'll come up with any new questions that really matter or that are going to shed any new light on anything. But whatever. Good for Scott Hall to be able to do something since he's, you know, rarely doing well, it seems. But maybe he's doing great now. Whatever. We'll move on. The next news story is that Lana just recently passed 1 million followers on Instagram, and I'm looking and showing the Periscope people what some of those photos look like, and I can see why she has 1 million followers. Do you get on Instagram very much, Brandon?
I have one, but it's not something I regularly check, like Facebook or anything like that. I probably check Twitter more than Instagram. I'm not even that huge into Twitter. But, yeah, I mean, I could see where checking out Hot Picks with Lana every day is appealing, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, for sure. There's a few pictures of her. This must be like her apartment or something where she's just taking pictures in front of a mirror. But there's a few outfits that she does not wear on television that I wouldn't mind her starting to do. But there's actually kind of a hot picture of her holding Rusev action figures. So she can make a lot of things look really good. So congratulations on breaking 1 million followers.
That's pretty crazy.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I was doing a story about Beyonce the other day, and I think she has like 43 million followers. So Lana's got a little way if she's going to break any kind of records. But, you know, Beyonce is kind of untouchable, so whatever. That is basically all the news stories. Again, not much happened over the weekend, so we don't have a whole lot. We'll go through the five-point preview, which, as we've learned, is really just five questions they asked that let you know mostly what's going to be going on in Raw. Actually, I guess they didn't form them in questions, although they ended each segment. So we'll go through those real quick, and then we'll wrap things up for the day. Point one is dealing with Kane and Seth Rollins. Obviously, they're still doing the kind of schizophrenic storyline, or at least where he's pretending that he doesn't remember doing anything. So the final question is, WWE's director of operations suffering from split personality disorder, or is his behavior part of a large plan that has yet to be revealed? How do you think this plays out, Brandon?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I think they're probably going to, keep going with the split personality thing. I can see Kane probably facing Rollins at Hell in a Cell. So I think that's probably where it's going to go. Just, I don't think there's going to be really anything too big to come out of this angle, really. It's more of like a way to have a title match where Rollins can retain. So, I don't know. Hopefully it's interesting, but I'm just kind of bored of Kane at this point, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see this panning into him officially going, officially being up against the Authority and then turning Kane the demon face again and whatever. But, you know, yeah, I'm glad the more people Seth Rollins can put on his resume as people he defeated for the title, I'm happy with that. And after last week's page bomb, point two, what's next for the Divas Revolution? How might the Queen of Hearts retaliate against the embittered Paige? So, looks like if not at the pay-per-view, at least on Raw, we're going to get Natalya versus Paige. How do you see that playing out? Do you think they're going to bring Natalya back in kind of full-time, or is this just kind of a stepping stone before Paige goes back to the title?
I mean, hopefully. I mean, Natalya has a lot to contribute. I know they kind of had her paired up with Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, and then since Tyson's been out, we haven't really seen her, which is kind of upsetting because, like, she's obviously one of the most talented women on the roster. I mean, that's before the whole Divas Revolution, bringing the NXT girls up, she was, you know, basically the best women's wrestler on the active roster for who knows how long, so that'd be interesting, but I mean, obviously, I think they're going to try to give Paige a push as the top heel diva for now. And so just a little program for her to work with Natalya, and it should be good. I think they can have some great matches. So
Yeah, absolutely. All right, point three. Titled Snake in the Swamp. This is a long sentence. Man, it is like a really terrible run-on sentence, but I'll read the whole thing. Even though the Big Dog and the Lunatic Fringe, a.k.a. the Shield, have a powerful new ally in the Viper, the Wyatt family is undeterred, and despite Harper's one-on-one defeat to Reigns on SmackDown, the family is as strong as it's ever been. Should WWE's Apex Predator fear what the Swamp Monsters, especially Braun Strowman, are planning next? Do you think Orton is going to be, you think he'll take on Strowman at the next pay-per-view and put him over?
It's possible. I mean, yeah, I definitely think they're trying to get Braun over big, which it's cool because, like I said, I think he's going to I mean, he's obviously a monster, and I think that he has potential to do something big, but it's just kind of weird. It's like they're taking the attention off of Bray, which, in my opinion, is obviously the star of that group and should have been, should have done something with him by now, rather than what they have done with him, I guess. So it's kind of disappointing, and in my opinion, to see that as, like, he's almost like an afterthought now. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what they do with it. I really don't have a whole lot of ideas of how they could make it great. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I think, like, I really don't understand why Randy just was not the third member instead of randomly Jericho, and then Jericho's just gone again. And, yeah, it made no sense, really. So.
Yeah, and they've advertised Jericho versus Owens for the IC title at the pay-per-view, which also doesn't make any – I mean, I don't mind heel versus heel matches, but I feel like that was not – I feel like they're not really building towards that match at all. So I don't really know what that's going to be. The thing with Chris Jericho was weird. And, yeah, if you're going to let people down
– I didn't even hear that's happening. I did not even know that was happening.
Yeah, that was the most recent I don't know if that was according – I think that was maybe according to Madison Square Garden's website. But the most recent change to the lineup was that they changed that match. Because that match had already been booked, Owens versus Jericho. And then after Owens won the title, they changed it to a title match.
So that's for the network special, Madison Square Garden. That's not for the pay-per-view.
Right, right. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can. That's fine. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
But as far as just Jericho a heel, I didn't really think that he was a heel.
Well, I think just the way they had him kind of like bump shoulders with Dean at the end of that match, and the fact that he tagged himself in, and they were kind of trying to play it up like he was trying to get all the glory for himself and then was just kind of being a dick at the end. So I think they set it up so there could be that whenever Jericho comes back, he can feud with Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns, I think, is if that's what I think that's what they're doing if they're not planning on using him again right away. So, but yeah, I know Michael Cole was especially playing up like, oh, look, he tagged himself in and cost him the match, and he wanted all the glory for himself. So that's the story they're trying to sell. So
yeah, it's just not going to work. I mean, with Jericho being a part-timer and just having the status that he has, he's not going to get over as a heel, in my opinion. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's another one who they just switched him around so much that he's a good worker and he can do whatever he wants, but it's never going to be like, oh man, Jericho's back, really, ever. So, whatever. Moving on, point four. Who will John Cena face for the U.S. title? Who will he challenge, I guess, what it says. Now that Rollins has already used his guaranteed rematch for the title, will Raw return, bring the return of Cena's U.S. Open challenge? If so, who is bold enough to face the champ? So it seems like that's what they're going to do. Who do you think answers the call tonight for the U.S. title match?
That's tough. I mean, they're kind of sticking with the theme of using the younger guys or bringing up kind of a surprise type person. Can't really think of too many people that haven't been used. So, I mean, I don't know. It'd be cool to see Finn come up and face him, but I don't know if they would do that with him being the NXT champ and having to lose to Cena. So, but that would definitely be cool.
Yeah. Have they definitely booked him a match for the NXT special yet?
Not that I know of, but surely he's going to defend the title.
Yeah, you would
like we talked about. I'm guessing he's just going to probably defend the title against Samoa Joe, assuming that tag team tournament concludes beforehand.
Well, actually, the tag team tournament I think we have one match coming up this week. That's Enzo and Big Cass versus Samoa Joe and Finn Balor. But then after that, the semifinals and the finals are all taking place at the special. So unless Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, which is very possible since it'll be against Enzo and Cass, who I think are one of the favorites to win, I could see them breaking up, you know, and getting into each other tonight and then them booking the title match for the special. So
I don't know. I guess it just remains to be seen. I saw that Jordan Gable, and I went over the Hype Bros this weekend. So
yeah, so it'll be them. And who will their opponents be then? Who's left? The Vaudevillains? No, the Vaudevillains were already eliminated. Oh, it's those guys who eliminated the Vaudevillains probably, right? Not the Briscoes, but the guys who everyone says kind of remind – I don't know. They kind of remind me of – the Andersons, but I don't really know if that's the team who's left. Either way, my guess is that if they're going to bring Finn Balor up, it'll be right after they announce his title match. That way they can promote it when he comes on Raw for the U.S. Challenge.
Sure. I mean, yeah, like I said, I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to say, isn't Ryback, not Ryback, excuse me, Rhino and Corbin still in it?
So I guess it is Rhino and Baron Corbin versus Jordan Gable and Jason Jordan and Chad Gable. And then the winner of Wednesday's match. I don't know. Maybe the other team I was trying to think of earlier, but I couldn't remember their names.
Blake and Murphy, are they still in it?
No, I think Blake and Murphy were eliminated. Alrighty, man, let me see. I'll figure it out. Updated Dusty Rhodes Classic Bracket. I don't want to see that one. Trying to see it because I don't want to accidentally read spoilers. But yeah, Enzo Amore are up against Finn Balor and Samoa Joe to see the winner.
Okay,
so they'll be bracket
A.
Wesley Blake
be
and Blake Murphy, the Vaudevillains. Tucker Knight and Elias. No, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder. That's who's left. They will be up against Jason Jordan. Okay, here it is. So Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder face the winner of Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. Jason Jordan and Chad Gable face off against Rhino and Baron Corbin.
Okay.
And then the winners of those two matches. Yeah. So I could see Enzo and Colin winning, Balor and Samoa Joe getting in each other's face, and then them announcing the title match that night. And then then you have the women's title match, Finn Balor title match, the three tag team tournament matches, and then I'm sure you throw in Tyler Breeze versus
Bull Dempsey. Yeah.
So yeah, it should be pretty good. That's
probably going to be the card because the women's match is 30 minutes regardless. So
yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, they might not even do Balor and Samoa Joe yet since they're not going to be the main event regardless. So
yeah, that's true. They could save it for sure. It'll be interesting. And the fifth and final point on Raw's WWE.com preview, Brutality Before the Beast. So what message will the Giant, a.k.a. The Big Show, deliver on Raw less than 1 week before Big Show's anticipated collision with the Beast Incarnate? He's been basically getting – I guess that was the reason Cesaro had a job to him is because they want to build Big Show a little bit before the Madison Square Garden show. I mean, do you really do you really care about? I mean, obviously the Big Show is going to lose that match no matter what. Do you care that whether or not they push him between now and Madison Square Garden?
No. I mean, I see why they're doing it, but I mean, Big Show is probably like my least favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
The last Raw I went to, when the fans were chanting, "We want Big Show," I added in "to retire" to that chant.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
tells me anything.
Yeah, I'm way over the Big Show. I was really annoyed that Cesaro had to drop out to him, but maybe this was part of his big last run or something. Oh, man, I'm watching a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in the background from 2011, and it's Sin Cara versus Sin Cara. It just came on, which is funny to me. Whatever. Yeah, well, that's it for all of that. And I know we already talked about 3XW and your first few matches there. For anyone who listens to this, how can they follow you and how can they follow 3XW?
You know, 3XW Wrestling on Facebook, at 3XW Wrestling for Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Suplex for Hire. And like my Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/FlawlessBWallace.
Flawless B. Wallace. I kind of like that. Yeah, B in the middle.
Cool.
I like that. Flawless B. Wallace. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I had to add the B because apparently some other lady named Susan Wallace had already taken /FlawlessWallace, so.
Oh. Well, hey, I mean, I know I'm just one person, but I would consider Flawless B. Wallace, because I feel like that B in the middle, because Flawless Lawless, kind of you feel like you're saying, you know what I mean? That B in the middle, just a thought, that little extra beat in between Flawless Lawless. Flawless B. Wallace. Then
that's
people
true.
Can always,
actually,
who don't know you. See, maybe
right
Facebook
I mean,
granted you one, you know? Like, kind of like, and it could be like CM Punk, where everyone always tries to guess what the B stands for, and especially if you don't know, if they don't know you personally. B could stand for a lot of things, you know?
That's true.
So.
That is true.
Just a thought, and if that happens, if you become famous, Flawless B. Wallace, we got it documented that the idea came here on Marking Out in the Morning, September 28th, 11:21 a.m. All right. Cool. So yeah, check out Brandon on Twitter and Facebook as well as 3XW. And of course, Marking Out in the Morning. And oh, also before we close out, I was going to tell you, since Fridays here are always like so slow, I think I might try to make Friday like the whole emphasis of the show really about indie wrestling. And so I know that Friday mornings are like the worst for you. But if you're available like Thursday morning, or even if not for the show in the morning, we can just do one over the phone real quick or one like this. And that way you can kind of give us an update on updates and reminders on 3XW specifically. Then I might see if I can get little interviews and updates every week with the IPW champion and the 3XW champion, because they're both kind of all over the place too, outside of just those thing. So just have weekly little things, and that way keep Friday all about the indie circuit.
Sure, you,
just some idea.
Did you have Sterling on your show?
Yeah, I had him once.
Have you?
I don't know when it was. It was probably the second, I'm going to guess like the second week of us doing the show. So yeah, we had him on for a little bit. And then, the other guy, he's the IPW champion. He's from here in Des Moines, or maybe Ames, but he's on the show a little bit
sure.
too. So yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, yeah. I mean, that would be good for this week since we have a show Friday night. So we plug that.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'm going to play out the closing track here, and we will talk to you again soon, Brandon. Thanks for joining us for Marking Out in the Morning.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Have a good day.
You too.
Marking Out in the Morning is proud to be recorded in Des Moines, Iowa, at Audacity Solutions Studios. You can check us out at heelziggler.com. Follow us on Twitter at heelziggler_com. The song you hear at the beginning of the show was recorded in Des Moines, Iowa, by my friend Campbell D'Souza, with recording studios of Phil Young. You likely also heard the song Parsec by the artist Arma Puros, which I downloaded for free at noisetrade.com, the album Timelines, and got permission from Arma Puros on Twitter for that. I also downloaded the song you're hearing right now at noisetrade.com. It is by a band called Ampersand. The song is called Aurora Borealis. It's on their album Triumph Triumph. Available for free at noisetrade.com. I haven't got their permission for this yet, but I hope to do so in the future. I tweet them about it, so we'll see what happens. You may also hear a more aggressive song that will be Ready, Set, Fire by a website called incompetech.com, where you can download stuff like that to use for your own good, royalty free. Marking Out in the Morning is here every morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can subscribe to our podcast at iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for Audacity Solutions Podcast. And of course, you can listen live every day or listen to the entire archive at blogtalkradio.com/AudacitySolutions.